The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana. The news presented by Abraham Donko
and Najagble Ago.
In the headlines, $52 million equipment replacement project for Kolebu Teaching Hospital handed over. Government takes steps to improve pupil-to-book ratio in basic schools. Controversy over sale of GNPC drilling ship deepens as State Enterprises Audit Corporation fails to provide details. Accra Circuit Court grants bill to aid to former MP for Ayawaso Central. Former diplomat Mulatu Teshome elected new president of Ethiopia. And dozens of bodies trapped in last week's shipwreck off Lapindusa recovered. But first, the summary with Najagble Ago.
The Kolebu Teaching Hospital has received a $52 million equipment to aid patients to access the hospital efficiently. Speaking at the handing over ceremony, Minister of Health Sheri Aiti advised management of the hospital to instill the culture of maintenance in the usage of the equipment. Government is to improve the pupil-to-book ratio, which currently stands at 3-1. At the launch and opening of the first ever library and information week in Accra, Deputy Minister in charge of tertiary education, Samuel Okudeto Ablakwa, said government has, in view of this, purchased 12.5 million cedis worth of test books for distribution to pupils in basic schools throughout the country. The State Enterprises Audit Corporation has failed to give details of the petroleum production equipment which were sold by the Ghana National Petroleum Corporation, GNPC, in 2001. This came to light yesterday after judgment that commission sitting. And Mulatu Teshome has been elected new president of Ethiopia. He replaces Gema Woldi Georgius, who had served 2 6-year terms. Mr. Mulatu was elected at a joint session of the House of People's Representatives and the House of Federation for a 6-year term.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
The news in detail. A $52 million national equipment replacement project has been handed over to the Kolebu Teaching Hospital. The facelift will relieve patients of the struggle and unclean environment they are always confronted with at the hospital. At a ceremony, the Minister of Health, Sheri Aiti, advised the management to inculcate the maintenance culture to prolong their usage. Linda Goji and Miriam Foster Tete have filed this report.
The departments which received the facelift are the catering and laundry, mammography and dental units, the stroke ward and the pediatric theater of the hospital. These departments hitherto were using obsolete equipment which impeded the hospital's work as some were forced to shut down. The Minister of Health, Madam Sheri Aiti, advised management of the hospital to use revenue which would be derived from the use of the equipment to maintain the departments.
Actually, these equipment to the Kolebu administration. I think that the next program that we need to do is to put in place a very comprehensive maintenance program, because investing $52 million is not a small amount of money. We must do massive investment also on the infrastructure. That is to mobilize the resources so that we can change the face of Kolebu Teaching Hospital into a modern, specialized hospital.
The acting chief executive of the hospital, Reverend Albert Butri, gave the assurance that the hospital will set up systems to properly take care of the equipment. He also noted that the rehabilitated and re-equipped pediatric theater will reduce waiting time for children due for surgery. The $52 million project was undertaken by the Ministry of Health with support from Bell Star Development Company and the Overseas Private Investment Corporation.
Linda Goji and Miriam Foster Tete's report.
Ghana yesterday joined the rest of the world to commemorate this year's World Habitat Day with a call on government to prioritize Ghana's alarming housing and road deficits. This will enable rural and urban dwellers to have decent living conditions and also bridge the gap between rural and urban dwellers. The Minister of Local Government and Rural Development, Akwesi Opong-Fusu, said MMDAs must adopt strategies that will improve urban planning and ensure orderly development of towns and cities for easy access and mobility. Here is a report by Irab Napaha and Emilia Aiti.
The United Nations has set October 7 every year as World Habitat Day. The observance has become an international event since 1985. It is a day set aside, among others, to alert the world of the future of human settlement and to bring hope to the urban poor. Local Government and Rural Development Minister Akwesi Opon-Fosu said, in celebrating the day, there's a need to emphasize the importance of planning cities and towns in order to accommodate both rural and urban dwellers.
As our country rapidly urbanizes, many communities still lack land use plans, street names and house numbers. People are compelled to instead rely on informal directions and local landmarks. This situation does not only inhibit efficient commerce, but also impede accessibility to amenities and emergency services when they are required. I should remind MMDAs in large, functional, unified urban areas not to plan and execute street naming and property addressing in isolation, but to effectively collaborate with all stakeholders to ensure easy mobility and accessibility.
Elaborating on the theme, Improving Urban Mobility for Sustainable Development, the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon believes that mobility is not just a question of building longer and wider roads, but it is about providing appropriate and efficient systems that serve people in the best and equitable manner. A representative of the UN systems in Ghana, since Accra, read Mr. Ban Ki-moon's speech.
Millions of people are denied the benefits of public or private transport due to cost. People need to be able to get to work, school, hospitals, and places of recreation safely and quickly. Getting mobility right can regenerate urban centers, boost productivity, and make a city attractive for all users, from investors to visitors and residents.
Deputy Ministers of Transport, Roads and Highways and Water Resources, Works and Housing read fraternal messages to commemorate the day.
Irab Napaha and Emilia Aiti's report.
The State Enterprises Audit Corporation could not give details of the petroleum production equipment which was sold for 2,300,000 Ghana cedis by the Ghana National Petroleum Corporation, GNPC, in 2001. This came up during the judgment that commission sitting yesterday. A representative of the corporation, Frederick Boniface Senahia, appeared in respect of the drill ship sold in 2001 to defray GNPC's debt owed Societe Generale. We bring you Ernesto Bing Enim's report.
The State Enterprises Audit Corporation was established in 1965 to audit the accounts of state-owned enterprises. It audited GNPC's accounts until 2005, when the contract was given to another firm. The senior manager, Frederick Boniface Senahia, who represented the corporation, said after 10 years, the records of the institutions which are audited by the corporation are destroyed. Asked why they are destroyed, he said when a report is issued and it is not questioned, it can be disposed of.
My lord, you have a challenge in the working papers. We have copies of financial statements and the management letter.
What sort of challenge do you have in respect of the working papers?
The working papers, the GNPC ceased to be our client in 2005. We were no longer auditing them since 2005. And because of that, the working papers in connection with those audits were shredded.
When quizzed about an amount of $4.4 million captured in the audited accounts, he replied that without the working papers, it will be difficult for him to know how the figure was arrived at.
Ernesto being in him reporting.
This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: $52 million equipment replacement project for Kolebu Teaching Hospital handed over. Government takes steps to improve pupil-to-book ratio in basic schools. Controversy over sale of GNPC drilling ship deepens as State Enterprises Audit Corporation fails to provide details. Accra Circuit Court grants bill to aid to former MP for Ayawaso Central, Sheikh Isi Kwe. Former diplomat Mulatu Teshome elected new president of Ethiopia. And dozens of bodies trapped in last week's shipwreck of Lampedusa recovered. We'll be back shortly.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel, and more.
Welcome back. Government has purchased 12.5 million cedis worth of textbooks for distribution to pupils in basic schools throughout the country. Deputy Minister in charge of tertiary education, Samuel Okudjeto Abakwa, who disclosed this in Accra Service, will go a long way to improve the pupil-to-book ratio, which currently stands at 3-1. Mr. Abakwa was speaking at the launch and the opening of the first ever Library Information Week. The wife of the Vice President, Mrs. Matilda and Miss Arthur, who was the special guest, cut the tape for a photo exhibition to mark the day. We bring you a report by Victoria Ahaji and Abigail Bemu.
Mrs. Emisa Asa, who is the immediate past president of the Ghana Library Association, said society cannot develop without reading, hence everybody must cultivate the habit of reading. She called on parents to encourage their children to read at all times, since they spend a lot of time with them.
Schools don't have libraries, and schools that have libraries don't spend time taking their children to the library and introducing the books to them and helping them to. Parents don't also spend time getting their children to read. Instead of buying a child a book, a parent would rather buy the child a toy or something else. We are saying that in this era, the computer has taken over. Even if children use the computer to read, we would be happy. Past teachers are doing their bit in helping the children to read. The parents should also encourage the children to read.
The Deputy Minister in charge of tertiary education, Samuel Okudjeto Abakwa, believes there is the need for modernization of public libraries. He said a library must be interesting, attractive, and convenient to all.
Libraries yesterday cannot be libraries today. The world has changed. ICT is being used to change and modernize our libraries, and we have to also come along. I want to assure you that as a ministry, we will lead in that modernization effort of our libraries. If we will have to encourage our children to voluntarily ignore other entertainment centers and choose the library.
The president of the Ghana Library Association, Perpetual Dazi, explained the significance of the celebration of the library and Information Week.
The idea of the Library and Information Week celebration was mooted at the Biennial Congress of the Association last year, ostensibly to create awareness about the important role of libraries and information professionals in Ghana. We in the association are of the conviction that we need to raise awareness of the importance of the public library through the Library and Information Week celebration.
The board chairman of the Ghana Library Authority, Kosi Kedem, called for a national policy for public libraries. He asked government to build more libraries in the Greater Accra region, since there is only one public library serving the residents of Accra. Activities lined up for the one-week celebration include a three-day reading clinic for selected schools, photo exhibition, and radio and TV interviews.
That report was filed by Victoria Ahaji and Abigail Bemu.
The launch of the first ever Library and Information Week celebration is also underway in Bolgatanga. The nationwide event held simultaneously in all the regional capitals is another theme: Information Literacy and Public Libraries. The week-long celebration seeks to showcase the invaluable contribution of libraries and broadening one's scope of knowledge. It will be climaxed with a series of activities, including a three-day reading clinic for selected pupils to highlight and create greater awareness on improving reading habits in basic school pupils and promote information literacy among adults as well. Launching the week, a regional representative of the Ghana Library Authority, Joanna Fwadura, said aside from the main theme chosen for the celebration, there are other sub-themes to highlight the pivotal role that libraries play in Ghana's development. The third theme, she explained, hopes to draw the attention of community leaders and decision-makers to the need to support the existing libraries to enable them to play their mandated role. In a speech read for him by his deputy, the regional minister, Alhaji Limuna Mohammed Muniru, underscored the need for public libraries to be resourced and emphasized government's commitment to upgrade, equip, and rehabilitate the existing ones with computers and other modern facilities to meet the growing changes in the world of information.
The Minister of Education, Professor Jinano Pukwajiman, has urged girls in first and second cycle schools to take their education seriously to justify the investment being made by their parents. She said government will continue to provide a congenial atmosphere for all pupils and students to develop their talents and contribute their quota to national development. Professor Opokwajimai told Radio Ghana that the decision to scrap off allowance of teacher trainees is aimed at removing the structural impediments to make it difficult for many students to enter into the colleges of education. She said continuing students in the colleges of education will enjoy the allowances till they complete.
What I told the girls was that, and the young boys too, was that this is a fine opportunity for them to learn, to socialize, but never to lose sight of why they went. At the College of Education at Tumu, we heard from the College of Education in Tumu, for example, that last year they were able to admit 160, and this year they were able to admit 300 students. So what we are trying to do is remove the bottleneck that made it impossible for students to be admitted. And I felt that to admit 160 instead of 300 was totally wasteful. And if the problem was the allowance, then the allowance had to go. And the allowance is going, but it doesn't mean that you are leaving the students out in the cold. What is happening is that the students will have access to the student loans like their colleagues in the other tertiary institutions. However, the difference is that those in the second and third years will be allowed to have the allowances as well, but it will not apply to the first year students. You see, in Tumu alone, 140 students would have been staying at home instead of getting education. What is more wasteful than this?
Minister of Education, Professor Jinana Opokwajimai.
An Accra Circuit Court has granted bail to an aide of former MP for Ayawaso Central, Sheikh Isi Kwe, and two others involved in a case of fraudulent transaction and causing damage. Awudu Musa, a gym instructor who was a policeman assigned to Sheikh Isi Kwe in 2006, faces a charge of fraudulent transaction, while Mohammed Kwe, a businessman, and Abdul Nasir Salifu, a general contractor, are charged with conspiracy, causing unlawful damage and forcible entry. All three have pleaded not guilty to the charges. They were each given a 70,000 cedi bill with two sureties. According to the facts, Mohammed Kwe and Abdul Salifu, who are brothers of Sheikh Isi Kwe, caused damage to a fence wall and a set of iron gates at Ogbeju, valued at 15,260 cedis, 51 pesos. The two are said to have forcibly entered the land, which is the property of Dolewura Awushi Abdul Malik Seydu Zakaria, a traditional ruler. Sheikh Isi Kwe's brothers are reported to have taken some valuables from the land, but have since handed them over to the police. The confrontation by the two follows alleged sale of their brother's property without authorization. The four plots of land were part of five plots bought by Sheikh Isi Kwe in 2006 from the chief of Ogbeju.
We are back.
Radio Ghana, number one current affairs news channel and more.
Now to the foreign news. The Ethiopian parliament has elected Mulatu Teshome as new president to replace Gemma Waldy Georges, who had served 2 6-year terms. Mr. Mulatu, who was the country's ambassador to Turkey, was elected at a joint session of the House of People's Representatives and the House of Federation for a 6-year term. The 57-year-old president had held positions including Speaker of the House of Federation, State Minister of Finance and Economic Development, and Minister of Agriculture. Mr. Mulatu said he felt honored by being elected the fourth president of the Federal Democratic Republic of Ethiopia, vowing to contribute more to the ongoing development and growth of the country.
Protesters demonstrated in support of teachers receiving better pay in the Brazilian cities of Rio de Janeiro and Sao Paulo have clashed with the police. The center of Rio was packed with more than 10,000 people marching peacefully. But as it got dark, some protesters threw firebombs at public buildings and riot police responded with tear gas. A similar protest in Sao Paulo also ended in violent confrontation with the police after many banks were ransacked by hooded protesters. Teachers have been agitating for a pay increase for 2 months. About 50,000 people were estimated to have marched to support them before the violence broke out, but the police wouldn't only confirm the 10,000 estimate. Brazil's security situation is a challenge to cities that will play host to the 2014 World Cup and 2016 Olympic Games.
British drug maker GlaxoSmithKline is seeking regulatory approval for the world's first malaria vaccine after trial data showed it had cut the number of cases in African children. Experts are optimistic about the possibility of the first world's first vaccine after the trial results. Malaria, a mosquito-borne parasitic disease, kills hundreds of thousands of people worldwide every year. Scientists say an effective vaccine is key to attempt to eradicate it. The vaccine, known as RTSS, was found to have almost halved the number of malaria cases in young children in the trial and also reduced by about 75% the number of malaria cases in infants. The malarial trial was Africa's largest ever clinical trial, involving almost 15,000 children in seven countries.
Italian divers have recovered more bodies from the boat carrying African migrants that sunk last week. 38 bodies were freed from the hull, which divers had previously been unable to access. A Navy officer said divers unpacked a wall of people and corpses were so entwined, making it difficult to pull them out. The boat caught fire and capsized close to the Sicilian island of Lampedusa. The operation to recover bodies from the hull was abandoned yesterday, but will resume today. Police say last week's shipwreck was among the deadliest on record. The boat was carrying more than 500 people, mostly from Eritrea and Somalia. Official death toll now stands at 232, with 155 survivors so far.
A reportedly planned soccer match between the United States and Iran drew support from the U.S. government as officials hope the contest will be in line with Washington's willingness to negotiate directly with Tehran. U.S. State Department spokeswoman Marie Huff told a briefing in Washington that the U.S. is open to direct negotiations and talks with the Iranians, therefore the football pitch is not a bad option. Huff's comments follow reports last week citing Iranian Football Federation President Ali Kafashian as saying that the U.S. Soccer Federation is interested in including Iran in a 4-team tournament next year in the United States in preparation for the 2014 World Cup in Brazil.
The Algerian government has set to toughen legal procedures related to the field of counterterrorism through reviewing the current penal code. The source said the new draft law, which will be submitted to Parliament for vote, aims to change the national legislation to conform with international conventions ratified by Algeria, particularly those related to the suppression of funding sources of terrorist groups, prevention and combating terrorism. The supplementing draft law suggests that the current penal code should include some terrorist acts mentioned in the international conventions ratified by Algeria, such as those related to financial sources of terrorists, the use of any means of transportation in terrorist acts, and attacks with explosives or nuclear materials.
The registration of candidates for Libya's Constituent Assembly, which will be in charge of drafting a new constitution, kicked off yesterday. The High National Elections Commission set the registration process at the HNEC headquarters and its five branches across Libya. The HNEC media coordinator Abdul Salam Atiyo announced that the registration process will be closed by October 26. The UN mission in Libya recently welcomed the continued efforts of the Libyan authorities despite mounting pressure from political and security fronts.
A penal colony in Russia's Ural Mountains has witnessed an unusual boom in weddings, with 28 of its male inmates getting married to women, some of whom they had just met in a day. State regime colony number 2 in the Chelyabinsk region held all 28 weddings in a banquet hall last Friday. Prison officials noted that the number was unusually high for a single session of the periodic weddings held at the facility. A video of the event showed dozens of brides in white dresses sitting at tables with their incarcerated grooms, who were sporting suits instead of their regular prison garb. After the ceremony, the newlyweds were allowed to spend 2 days and a night together on the prison's premises, while later they would be allowed to see each other only a few times a year.
That was interesting. And now to end the news, another look at our headlines. The Kolebu Teaching Hospital has received a $52 million equipment to aid patients to access the hospital efficiently. Speaking at the handing over ceremony, Minister of Health Shariati advised the management of the hospital to instill the culture of maintenance in the usage of the equipment. Government is to improve the pupil-to-book ratio in the country, which currently stands at 3-1. At the launch and opening of the first ever Library and Information Week in Accra, Deputy Minister in charge of tertiary education, Samuel Okudjetua-Blakwa, said government has, in view of this, purchased 12.5 million books worth of for distribution to pupils in basic schools throughout the country. The State Enterprises Audit Corporation has failed to give details of the petroleum production equipment which was sold by the Ghana National Petroleum Corporation GNPC in 2001. This came to light yesterday at a judgment debt commission sitting. And the 57-year-old former diplomat Mulatu Teshome has been elected new president of Ethiopia. The news was presented by Abraham Donko
and Najak Bleago in Accra.